With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Welcome to the latest episode of the Championship Roundtable. I'm your host, Jake Jackman, and you can reach us at the show by emailing championshiproundtable@gmail.com.
Hi, I'm James Vickers. I'm a Preston North End fan on the podcast. You can reach me on Twitter @_JamesVickers, and I write and contribute for a Preston North End fan blog, which you can find on Twitter @DeepdaleDigest.
We'll start with making the rounds where each of us have a few minutes to discuss what's been happening at our clubs this week. We'll start with you, James. A couple of games for Preston this week. What were your thoughts on the two games and sort of the season as a whole now is coming to a close?
Yeah, it's been an interesting week, really. We started, obviously, as you know, at Newcastle. I didn't go into the game with too much optimism, really. Obviously, Newcastle is probably the toughest place in the division to go, with the exception of Brighton. And with two of our best defenders out injured with sort of season-ending injuries, as I said, yeah, I wasn't too optimistic, but fair play to the people who stepped in. I thought first half we sort of more than matched Newcastle. Played quite well considering we were coming in off the sort of a poor run of form with a couple of defeats, which after sort of mathematically missing out on the playoffs, it looked as if the lads were sort of already in holiday mode. So it's quite refreshing to see them put in a good performance first half. I think second half, after Newcastle got the second, and then Gallagher sort of with his world-class save on the line, getting himself sent off. I think after that, there was only going to be one winner, especially when Richie tucked away the penalty. But positive signs there in the first half. I think Tom Barkhuizen played fantastic. Hugill was sort of a presence up top, which he's been on sort of all season, really. He's really sort of filled that void that Joe Garner left when he joined Rangers in the summer. And I thought the two of them played well. Apart from sort of a couple of defensive mistakes, really, which sort of led to Newcastle's first two goals. Didn't have too many complaints about the first half, but, you know, that's to be expected, really, when you've got players coming in like Tyus Browning, who's been out for a number of weeks with sort of a knee injury. And then you've got Tom Spur coming in, filling in for Greg Cunningham, who's arguably been one of our best players this season. You're always going to get sort of a few mistakes, really, with a back four that's sort of been thrown together last minute and haven't really played together all season. But yeah, not really too many complaints. As I said, yeah, I didn't think we'd take anything away from the game, and it was good to see Newcastle get promoted as well. I'd imagine you're happy with that, Jake, and sort of you're back where you belong now in the Premier League. So I reckon you'll kick on there next season. So yeah, that was Monday. Going into yesterday, sort of, I've just given them all the praise for Monday, but really yesterday was the complete opposite. They did look like they were on holiday. It was only Rotherham's second away point all season, and playing your last home game of the season before season ticket price details and things like that come out, you want to leave the fans with sort of a positive experience to go off into the summer before they come back in August. And it was sort of abysmal, really, from start to finish. We were probably lucky to get a point, to be honest. No one really played well. I thought sort of the only person who could hold his head kind of high after the game was Aidan McGeady, but he's just been fantastic for us all season. He was announced as our player of the year today, and I don't think any Preston fans could argue with that. It pains me to say it, he's far too good for our team. And I think even though he's come out and said that he'd love to stay in the summer, I think he's going to, you know, go to a bigger team. I would be shocked if we managed to keep him, although I'd be delighted if that did materialise. It was also nice to see Stevie May back, who's been out sort of about a year and a half with an injury that he suffered at Fulham. Sort of November, December time last season. So that was good for him to come back. He got our goal as well, which will be a nice confidence boost to him.
Yeah, a thought I had on Preston during the game on Monday was I thought that Simon set up the team very well. He definitely had a game plan. You got three or four really good attacks in that first half as well, one being the goal. There's a save just before that as well, I think, from Johnson. So there's definitely signs that you could compete against sort of a team that were going to be promoted. So do you think next season that you will push on and he's the right man to sort of push you into those playoff spots?
Yeah, as you said, we had some really good chances in the first half, and on a different day, you know, we could have got a couple more in that first half. I think definitely sort of at the moment he's the right man to take us forward. Obviously, we've still got a game left in this season, but every year he's been with us, he's improved on his previous year's finish. So as long as he's doing that, I have no complaints. He's got us playing sort of quite an attacking brand of football, which, considering some of the managers we've had in sort of the past few years, your likes of Phil Browns and Graham Wesley, it's quite a refreshing change, really. I think the key to pushing on next season will be keeping hold of the likes of, even though I've said I can't really see it happening, people like Aidan McGeady, keeping hold of then sort of our younger core of the squad as well, who sort of playing well on TV, it's always going to, you know, sort of drive up the hype for them. Tam Barkhuizen in particular, who it was sort of announced by Grayson towards the back end of this week that he's been playing sort of most of his time with us with a hernia, and he's so quick, so it's frightening to think when he's playing sort of without the hernia and he is fully fit. I think he'll be a real handful next season. It's probably our signing of the season, to be honest, getting him on a free from Morecambe. When it was announced, not many people had sort of really heard of him. He used to play for Blackpool, so there was sort of that with them being our big rivals. But to be fair to the lad, since he's come in, he's proved to be one of our sort of most creative and sort of attacking players, and he's great to have. As it sort of happened in the game a few times against Newcastle, Maxwell's distribution from goal kicks is second to none, really. And he was able to pick out Barkhuizen and can use his pace to hit teams on the counter. So as long as we can keep all the players like that in the summer, add a bit more experience, which Grayson has said that he needs. And I completely agree with him there. I think at times this season we've been a little bit naive. But that's going to come with having quite a young squad. So if you can get the right balance next season, I don't see any reason sort of why we can't push on and hopefully sort of follow the mould that sort of like a Fulham have done and play attacking football and really push and have a serious playoff challenge. I can't see us sort of going for the title unless something miraculous happens. But yeah, playoffs is definitely, you know, where we need to be aiming for next season if we want to kick on.
Yeah, and moving on to Derby, have you not, Andy? It's been, although there's not much to play for, it's been quite an interesting week. You've had two matches against two informed teams. Chris Martin has been talked about by Rowett, and then Bent and Baird signed new contracts. So what are your sort of current thoughts on Derby and the week as a whole?
Yeah, obviously it's been a good opportunity for Gary Rowett to have a look at the players. Obviously he needs to do it over more than a couple of games. And the opposition were contrasting as we went to Sheffield Wednesday. Didn't give a bad account of ourselves, to be quite honest. Another day we would have come away with a draw. But that game showed, you know, it magnified the area where we're very weak, and that's in defence. And the defence were very poor in the two goals that we conceded there. We went on yesterday, we're playing Wolves, a team that's not had a good season. Be quite honest, they are one of the poorer sides that seem to Derby this season. Well, either that or, you know, we were really on our game. And we started very strong in the game. David Nugent scored another goal. Then Bradley Johnson came up and took one in. Wolves had a player sent off. And then just before half-time, Marshall pulled a goal back for them. And I've seen these scenarios before where when teams have lost a player, it's that old cliche of it's more difficult to play against 10 men. However, we started strong in the second half. And it was quite a good workout. I think looking at the games Row it's had to assess the current squad, I think he's right to keep Chris Baird and Darren Bent. Chris Baird has certainly earned the 1 year extension on his contract. He's come in, he's played very well, he's played in a variety of positions as well. Darren Bent, yeah, once again, useful player to have in a squad. He hasn't been an ever-present. He's been in and out of the team due to injury and obviously due to tactical decisions as well. But he's still come up with 13 goals. And the guy still knows how to put the ball in the onion bag. And should he, you know, not be getting much of a look in next season, we can still command a loan fee for him, because I'm sure there'll still be plenty of takers for his services at this level. And I think Gary Roberts has used the game very wisely. He's looked at the different formations. And hopefully he can fill the positions that we're weak at during the summer. You know, I'm cautiously optimistic that this time next season we may maybe have something to shout about.
Yeah, and just on the Chris Martin quotes as well, do you think that he'll come back to Derby next season?
Well, he's made his intentions clear that he's coming back to Derby. He signed a contract extension. If Fulham go up, will he change his mind? I don't know. Will Fulham change their mind? You know, will they consider Chris Martin a Premier League player? Personally, I think he would have a role for them if they went up. I don't think he would get as many games, but he would be more of a squad player. But, you know, saying that, he's still a useful sort of player to have about, because apart from his goal scoring, his ball holding as well, he's good at striking the dead ball. You know, he gives you another option. At Derby, Gary Rowett definitely wants him back, along with David Nugent, Matthew Vidra, Darren Bent, and Gary Rowett stated he wants another striker as well. So looking at extending the options would be a good thing. I personally feel that Chris Martin will be back at Derby County next season. The majority of the fans want him back as well. And I think his goal scoring record, you know, gives them good reason to want him back.
Yeah, just moving on to Newcastle now. Obviously, been a very quiet week on Tyneside. Not a lot going on. Of course, that's not true. We got promoted on Monday against James's Preston, which was, it was just relieving more than anything. I think the last few weeks have been quite stressful. We've been thinking about Huddersfield. We've been dropping points, not really playing well. And it's been quite stressful. But I think on Monday, we deserved to win, I think. Despite how Preston played in the first half, I think once we got that second goal just before half time, we were only going to win from that stage. So it was a good performance. We got the job done, and seeing the celebrations afterwards as well. It wasn't quite like it was at Brighton. I've seen some people on social media pointing out that, but the difference is this achievement for us compared to what it is for Brighton, it isn't quite the same level. I think it was more relief than anything. You saw Benitez on the pitch going around shaking hands with every single club official that was there, all the stewards, the photographer, all the players. And he looked so happy. He looked delighted that we'd got up. And you could see how much it meant to him as well. A lot of people were saying that maybe he wouldn't be that invested in it compared if we didn't win the title, and maybe be a bit disappointed. But if anybody saw how he celebrated, he was so happy. And although there's been a lot of comments about his future saying that he might not stay, I can't see it myself. I think he's definitely going to be here next season. You can see how much he's invested into this club, how much he loves it, how much he loves managing Newcastle. So I think, yeah, he'll be here next season. All his quotes at the moment are sort of trying to get as much transfer budget as possible. I read quite a good piece from Jamie Carragher, I think, on the Daily Mail when he was talking about it. And he said that this is what Benitez does. There's no chance. He doesn't think he'll leave Newcastle, and that he's quite a political figure. And that's exactly what he's doing. And yes, it was good to see him finally complete that achievement. I think we're the second team in the last six seasons to get automatic promotion after relegation. So, I mean, that shows you how hard it is to get out of this league. And we've done it with quite some comfort. Going on to the Friday's match as well, we played a bit of a weakened team. There's still an outside chance of the title. So we rested Shelby, Richie was suspended. But the players that came in did really well. I think we've seen with Brighton since they've been promoted and Doncaster in League Two as well, they've sort of gone off the boil and not really focused on going on and getting that title. Whereas we played probably played as well as we've played in the last few weeks against Cardiff. You could see the players were relieved and because the pressure had gone off them, they could play a bit more freely. Christian actually played very well. He's got a good free kick. And yeah, we got that done as well. And then with Brighton losing at the weekend, it really opens up the title race for us on the final day. We've got a chance. So that would be a good way to end the season if that did happen. Off the pitch, there's been a few things going on as well. I'm sure everybody's read the reports about the HMRC investigation into the club. Yeah, it was a bit concerning to see that come out just 2 days after promotion. If any club was going to get promoted and then have a massive investigation launched on them 2 days after, it would be Newcastle. And it's something that we've done. So, yeah, it was a bit worrying at the time, but reading a lot of the stuff that's been written about it by people who know more than me about these things, it seems like it's going to take a long time for it to reach any sort of conclusion, and it won't affect us football-wise, at least, because the Football Association and the Football League haven't opened their own investigations into it. So I don't think we'll get any footballing punishments, but we might see some change in the boardroom if Lee Charnley is involved and gets some sort of punishment himself, because he was arrested, which is farcical in itself. Having your chief executive arrested is embarrassing, but we'll see what happens to that. I'm not too worried about it. I don't think it will affect us this summer. I don't think it will affect Benitez's position. He was very professional about it when he was asked about it, and he's got on with his job and got the players focused on Cardiff and got that win. So that was really good to see. So now hopefully we just go on and get that title, and then we can start planning for the Premier League, which, yeah, it's good to be back in the Premier League. It was tough coming. It's been a tough season. I've got more respect for the Championship than I've ever had. So yeah, it was good to get up and good to do it without going through those playoffs.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found. That project manager I could never seem to hire? And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
How would you sort of rate the Championship season this year? Do you think it's been better than years gone by in quality and excitement, or do you think the fact that there's only a couple of things to decide on the final day shows that there's sort of different sections of the division, almost sort of like different leagues within the division, and there is a definite quality gap, and maybe it's not as close as everybody thinks it is? We'll start with you on this one, James.
I think definitely the quality is a lot better this year. As you said, with sort of regards to not many things to be decided on the last day, I think that is testament to sort of really how you can pick more or less from sort of Newcastle and Brighton down to about sort of 15 teams that, even though sort of teams maybe sort of lower and outside the playoffs, there's still serious quality there. And I think that's testament to sort of the money that's come into the league and the exposure that the league's had, especially in the last couple of seasons, with your likes of Newcastle coming down and your Leeds and people like that been in the division. That brings that exposure, which again brings sort of money into the division. And it's only a good thing, really. I think apart from, say, 7-8 teams, I think any sort of the top sort of 14, 15 could realistically have had a go at the playoffs this year. Maybe not sort of the top two, but yeah, definitely going for the playoffs. And I think it's sort of been that title season that you know, teams like Leeds now are going to miss out on the playoffs unless sort of there's a massive goal swing in their favour on the last day, where they looked to shoe in for the playoffs at one point and even looked as though they were capable of challenging for the top two. I think so. Yeah, the quality I think definitely has been one of the best it's been this season. I think excitement as well. It's even though you know you'd love to see sort of a bit of playoff drama and that kind of thing on the last day. Teams sort of dropping in and out, which makes it exciting for a neutral. I think sort of there's still enough going on sort of in and around the division where it's been sort of fun, sort of fascinating to watch it really, the season sort of unfold. You know, you've got teams like sort of Preston have had like a good go at the playoffs, and then you've got teams like Fulham that have, there's always that one team that really traditionally sort of comes on a run towards the end of the season and breaks in, and sort of that's been Fulham this season. So I think the excitement's definitely been there as well. And again, going back to the top two, Newcastle, Brighton, the way they've been sort of yo-yoing between the two of them sort of most of the season, that's been fascinating to watch as well, sort of from a neutral of the two teams' point of view. So I think quality and excitement, yeah, it's been a fantastic season this year, and hopefully, you know, that only gets better with the more money that comes into the league and the more TV exposure as well. So I think it's promising times ahead for the Championship, really. And as I mentioned a few weeks ago when I was last on, it's almost turning into a second sort of Premier League, as it were, sort of definitely lower half of the Premier League. The quality isn't too much different. Sort of for years, there was always this sort of misconception that as soon as you drop down at the Premier League, it's almost like your Sunday League football and that kind of thing. And I think over the last sort of 4 or 5 years, the Championship's really sort of shaken off that stigma that people had who don't necessarily watch it. Sort of the influx of foreign players and things like that, foreign managers like Benitez, it's helped no end. And it's sort of arguably sort of as exciting sort of as a neutral to watch as say like the Premier League is, sort of in my opinion. So yeah, as a Preston fan, would have liked to have seen us get into the playoffs, but excitement, drama, you know, everything you want in a competitive league, it's added all this season, and hopefully it continues.
The league has done a lot for its exposure in the media, huge clubs and who haven't been at in this level for a long time, so having those two is good for the league. And seeing Aston Villa struggle as well, I think it's been good for the league, because it shows that you can't just spend money and expect to go up. You have to spend it well, and you need to really research the league, which I think Newcastle did. I think Benitez did that, and I don't think Aston Villa did. So that's been good to show that money isn't everything. And as well, I think that the one problem I have with the league is that there's a lot of teams that have been very poor this season that aren't going to be punished for it. I think Rotherham and Wigan have really propped up that league. And if they were more competitive, the league, I think, would have been a lot better as a whole. So hopefully next season, there won't be two teams that are just so much worse than the rest. But what are your thoughts on it, Andy? Do you sort of have similar thoughts?
I think it's been a good season. I think it's been good for the fact that Aston Villa and Norwich haven't just come down. Splash the cash. They've splashed the cash, but it hasn't seen them go back up again. And, you know, at least it proves that you can't necessarily buy yourself out of the league. Because, to be quite honest, I thought when Aston Villa appointed Steve Bruce, who's got quite a few promotions on his CV, that they would progress and they would be top six at least. But no, they've struggled. And to be quite honest, I know we've only had 1 point off them, but they were poor. You know, we were just worse. But it's been a season full of stories as well, because you've had the late running by Fulham, tremendous. You know, a couple of seasons ago they were dire, and I think Russ Goldman would agree with that. But the turnaround this season has been tremendous. I know they didn't have their better games against us, but I've watched the highlights of a few of their games. They play nice football, nice attractive football. It's good to see that Sheffield Wednesday again are in the playoffs, because they're a Premiership size team, and they didn't suffer a bad playoff hangover. What has surprised me is Leeds. They surprised me twice, actually. first of all, they surprised me by the way they stormed into the top six. They are one of the better teams that we've played this season. They absolutely played us off the park when we went to their place. But then there was a twist in the tail of them now dropping out of the top six, and by a miraculous scoreline, they're out of it. I think they've got to win something like by 13 goals, and Fulham's got to lose by so many. But at the other end of the table, there's a couple of stories as well. The survival of Burton Albion. I tipped them to go straight back down. And even a few weeks ago, I was thinking they hadn't got the depth in the squad. They hadn't got the game plan to stay up. They've proved us wrong. And I actually think that the achievement of that club, it's quite understated. You know, Nigel Clough should be a manager of the season candidate. You're talking of a club that gets 4,000 or 5,000 people watching it every week. Burton Albion have been getting less than my brother's team, Lincoln City, who are playing in the Vanarama, who just won the Vanarama National. I think we've all got to take our hats off to Nigel Clough and salute Burton Albion. But I think there's just one final story awaiting, and that's the final relegation place. Rotherham have been whipping boys all season. 22 points is pretty dire. 22 points, I mean, that's nearly as bad as the 11 points that we got in the Premier League, if not worse. Wigan just never managed to pull themselves away from that bottom three. I actually think Wigan are probably just a couple of players away from being a side that could compete in the division. But unfortunately, they weren't able to fill them gaps. But it's that final relegation place that's quite intriguing. We've got Blackburn Rovers and Nottingham Forest on the same amount of points and only one goal difference in the goal difference. Now, I'm sure, you know, the whole of the East Midlands will have one eye on what's going to go on next weekend. Forest are entertaining Ipswich. Ipswich, very unpredictable side. Half fancy them to get a result at Forest, to be quite honest. And we've got Blackburn Rovers. I think they're playing Brentford. Well capable of pulling off a result there. And you know that social media will go into overdrive if Nottingham Forest get relegated from Derby County fans. Although on a personal note, you know, I've got friends and family that support Forest. I don't actually want them to go down because I prefer to start the season on a level playing field and beat them on the pitch, but it's looking very tricky for them, and not only will they become, well, in fact, they are the only ex-European champion team that's ever dropped down to a third tier in Europe, but they're going to do it again if that happens. But I don't think their case has been particularly helped by what's been going on behind the scenes. The owner, Fawaz Al-Fasawi, it's been an absolute disaster since that guy went in there. He's chopped and changed managers. The best manager he had, he sacked just after he'd lifted them into the top six. And after, I think it was a game where they'd just beaten Leeds United. But he is due, I think, this week to sell the club to Marinakis, and, you know, are they jumping from the frying pan into the fire because his own, how we can say, way of running things has been called into question in the past, back in his homeland in Greece. But I think it's at the bottom end of the table now where everybody's going to be looking there next weekend.
Yeah, I'd agree on Burton Albion, especially. I think they deserve a lot of credit for what they've done for the size of the club. I think we saw was that Yeovil came up a few seasons ago and they gave it a good go, but they didn't quite manage it. So to see Burton do it is a massive shot in the arm to those teams that are looking to get up into the Championship. I think Fleetwood are in the playoffs, so they would be a similar sort of size club if they did come up. But just quickly before we move into Player Watch, I just want to ask you, on the final day, who do you think will win the league, Brighton or Newcastle? Newcastle at home to Barnsley, and Aston Villa, I think, are playing Brighton at home. So Brighton have got a trip to Villa Park, so that will be interesting. And then the relegation spot as well. You mentioned Forest and Blackburn there. Blackburn against Brentford and Forest against Ipswich. And then Birmingham as well are involved in that, despite their win over Huddersfield. So who do you think will take those two places, just quickly, a prediction of you?
Yeah, I think it'll be interesting. I think Birmingham should be safe. It takes sort of Blackburn and Forest to win, looking at the table, and I can't see both of them sort of picking up victories. Personally, as a Preston fan and having the rivalry with Blackburn, it'd be nice to see them go down. I think Forest are a Championship club, and it'd be a shame to see them go. But it's so tight. There's literally a goal in it between the two of them, and they're level on points. So, you know, it could go either way. I don't think Blackburn will be able to win at Brentford. They may get a draw, but then it depends, obviously, what Forest do. If I was a betting man, I'd probably put my money on Blackburn to go down. I think both teams will probably end up losing on the final day. And it sort of stays that it is. But, you know, both teams lose. It's whoever loses by sort of the fewest margin then. So, again, they both could lose. And Forest could end up slipping into the relegation zone. So it's definitely going to be a fantastic sort of watch as a neutral on the final day. But, yeah, my money would be with Blackburn to go down.
Yeah, that's interesting. I think, looking at those fixtures, Birmingham are away to Bristol City. They've now stayed up, so I think Birmingham will probably go and get at least a point there. I think Forest will beat Ipswich, and I think Brentford will beat Blackburn, so I think Blackburn will go down. Brentford are very good at home, so I can't see them not winning that game. So what do you think, Andy? Do you think Forest will go down, or do you think that it's probably going to be Blackburn?
It's not quite so straightforward, is it? Because Blackburn and Forest are on the same points, and there's only one goal difference in the goal difference, so they could both lose, they could both win, but it depends by how many, doesn't it? So I don't know. I think Blackburn will get a draw against Brentford. Forest, I don't know. I mean, I've just got this feeling that Ipswich will snatch a late win. Probably an ex-Forest player like David McGoldrick or Luke Chambers. You know, it's going to be very, very tight. I mean, the best thing that could happen for either of those two clubs is earlier on, the other one is trailing by two or more goals, you know, and so they can breathe more easily during the rest of the game. But I've just got that feeling that Forest are... They're going to go out. It's going to be something dramatic. Whoever goes down, I can see it going down to one of the last kicks of the game, of time added on, you know, something like that, which makes great TV. But obviously for one set of the supporters, you know, it's going to be a heartbreak. When you're talking about who's going to win the title, Newcastle nailed on. they're not going to slip up next Sunday. So, Newcastle up, and I just feel that Forest are going to go down.
Interesting. If Brighton's still leading the league by a point, so do you not think Brighton will beat Aston Villa away?
No, I think it'll be a draw.
Interesting. Moving on to Player Watch for this week then. We'll start with you on this one, James. You had a couple of games. If you want to go across those, who impressed and who disappointed for Preston?
Yeah, so I'll start with the Newcastle game. I thought we sort of we played better than I thought we would. Sort of the two players who really stood out, I thought Hugill, sort of as I mentioned earlier, he's done it all season. He's not the most talented footballer, but he makes up for it sort of for hard work and he's not afraid to put himself about. And I thought, especially first half, he caused a few problems sort of for the Newcastle defence. I thought Barkhuizen was excellent in the first half. His pace on the break was brilliant. Apart from that, there wasn't really anyone. I mean, we played well, but there wasn't really anyone that you could sort of point out that actually stood out. So yeah, I'd give a mention to Hugel and Barkhuizen for the Newcastle game. Moving on to yesterday, considering it was sort of shambolic from start to finish, there's not really anyone who stood out. I thought Alan Brown sort of had a game to forget, even though I'm sort of quite a big fan of his and would like to see him start more games than he does. I thought he was quite bad. I thought Daniel Johnson, he's been guilty of it a few times, sort of especially this season and towards the end of last. He just seems to go missing in games. He gives you sort of that X factor sometimes going forward, but kind of how like Ozil's been for Arsenal in the big games this season, he's just not producing it on a consistent basis, and at times he does look like a passenger in the midfield, especially missing Ben Pearson, who missed the game against Rotherham because he's picked up 15 bookings now this season. So he missed the Newcastle and the Rotherham games. Not having him in the midfield playing next to Johnson, it really does sort of highlight how much sort of he does go missing and how much we do rely on Pearson to almost carry him through games sometimes. So I thought those two disappointed me, sort of especially yesterday, considering the team as a whole didn't play too well. I thought the only player who sort of did play well really was Aidan McGeady. At the end of the game, as the players were doing their walk around the pitch, he was sort of noticeably sort of at the back of the group, sort of on his own walking round, taking a bit of extra time to sort of shake fans' hands who were sort of around the advertising boards at the side of the pitch. And it almost looked as if it was like a farewell. Hopefully it's not, you know, and we can get a deal sorted with him. He's come out today and he's said that he's loved every second sort of the time he's been with us. And if it was up to him, he'd love to stay. Just whether wages and that kind of thing, it'd be a stumbling block, or no doubt a bigger team will come in with an even better offer. So it's sort of really sort of on him whether he wants to be playing regular football at this stage of his career or go to, I don't know, potentially say like a Sunderland as they come down into the Championship and be playing some weeks and be on the bench others. So it's kind of on him, really. Hopefully we make him an attractive offer and he does stay, but sort of sadly just can't see it happening. So yeah, him, sort of as most weeks really, is sort of the only one really who impressed, and Johnson and Brown were the two that disappointed.
Moving on to, you know, Andy and Derby, who impressed and disappointed in your most recent fixture against Wolves?
Well, to be quite honest, I think it would be very unfair of me to pick on any player for the game against Wolves. I think they all, you know, had a reasonable game. As for best player, I'd think Bradley Johnson. This season, he's really turned it on. We signed him for a lot of money last season. It was then a club record. He struggled, wasn't playing well. This season, he's come in. He's been played out of position as well. And Saturday typified what he's been playing like this season. He's been getting stuck in. But also, more of late, he's been moving into forward positions. He scored on Saturday. And Bradley Johnson is a midfielder that's got goals in him if he's given the opportunity. I think the guy deserves a huge amount of credit. We was all on his back last season and he's responded perfectly. But, I mean, overall, it's been a funny kind of season because Scott Carson got our player of the season, thoroughly deserved. The best season by a goalkeeper we've had in many years. In fact, probably going back to the days of Mark Fulme. Tom Ince has had a good season. He came second in the supporters player of the season. 13 goals from a wide man's a good return. And Chris Baird, another player like Bradley Johnson, who last season the supporters were on his back. He came in this season initially when Cyrus Christie was injured, done a tremendous job at right back, He's filled in at centre half when asked, and even played left back as well. And you know, in contrast with last season, he's been absolutely superb. And like I said earlier, thoroughly deserving his 1 year contract extension. But yeah, that's about it.
Yeah, for Newcastle, we had a couple of games. So probably across the week, I would say a player that impressed me was Christian Atsu. If you'd have asked me this time last week if I wanted him to sign a permanent deal at the club going into the Premier League, I would have said categorically no. But the last two performances have sort of made me question that. I think he might have a role to play next season as a squad player, as somebody to come off the bench with a bit of pace and skill to you know, make something happen. He seems to be a player that Rafa likes. I think he's very good at taking on instructions and doing what the manager says. And against Preston, he got the crucial second goal, and I thought he was very good throughout the whole game. But it was against Cardiff, he was really good. He was probably our best player. We had Shelby and Richie out. Gale wasn't playing, and he really took on the mantle of being our main attacking threat. He scored from the free kick. And I was watching in the pub at the time, and the people I was watching with, I said, there's no way we're going to score from this free kick. We don't have anybody who can take them. I think the commentator as well said, oh, from this position, you have to go across the goal. It's impossible to get it up and down. And then he just gets it up and down into the top corner. And it was a ridiculous piece of skill. So, yeah, I would say he was probably our most impressive player this week. And it'll be interesting to see if Rafa wants to keep him. Because I think there might be a role for him, but there might not be. We'll see what happens there. Disappointed. Yeah, we got promoted and we won two games. I'm not going to pick on anybody for that. It's a bit counterproductive. So, yeah, just before we wrap up, we'll move on to match previews for next weekend, the final day of the season, 12 o'clock kickoff on Saturday. We'll start with you on this one, Andy. You got a trip to Rotherham, so I'm guessing you're expecting a win to finish the season.
Yes, we've got an end-of-season trip to Rotherham, to the New York Stadium. Bit of added spice in the game is that their goalkeeper, Lee Camp, is an ex-Derby player who latterly played for Forest, so I'm sure we'll be keen to put a few past in. I'm fairly confident that we can end the season with a win and lay down a marker for next season. Hopefully our forward line can continue to look as threatening as they have recently under Gary Rowett, and hopefully a happy end to the season, in which has been one of ups, downs and downs, and hopefully back on the way up.
Yeah, moving on to your game, James, you've got a trip to Wolves to play the team that Derby have just beaten. I guess there's nothing really riding on it for either team, but it's always good to end the season with a win. How'd you see this one going?
Yeah, as you said, it's always good to end the season with a win. We won there last season, so hopefully we can get a similar result and sort of end the season, which has been sort of, for the large part, a really positive season for us. It was always good, especially after last season. There's always that second season syndrome that seems to creep into some teams that have been promoted out of League One. They've had their good first season, and then they kind of get found out a bit then in their second season. So it's been a positive season that we've managed to kick on, improve the squad, and hopefully, you know, sort of finish higher than we did last season. So that, yeah, the aim is to pick up a victory. It's a shame there's nothing riding on the game. When I saw that it was going to be Preston Wolves' last game of the season, when the fixtures came out, I thought that sort of one of us would have sort of a shout at the playoffs. Hasn't turned out that way, but, you know, it'll still be a good day out. Go down there with no pressure on. It's nice sort of to make a change of not being involved in, you know, like a relegation battle or that kind of thing. So can go in and actually enjoy the game. Hopefully a couple of the sort of the younger players, we've had a few sort of our scholars sort of sign pro contracts. So hopefully, you know, one or two of them can get some game time, and it'll be a good chance for Stevie May to get some game time as well. He played from the start against Rotherham, scored the goals. So hopefully he can sort of kick on a bit now as well. Yeah, hopefully we can pick up a victory. I seem to fancy us more really away from home this season, especially the way we set up to hit teams on the counter-attack. So as long as it's an entertaining game, I'll be happy. Not the end of the world if we get beat or if we draw, but it's always nice to sign off the season with a win and send the fans happy into the summer, especially with there being, you know, no international football or anything like that this summer. So, yeah, fingers crossed, pick up a win, send the fans home happy, and then kick on then in pre-season.
Yeah, finally, Newcastle, we're at home to Barnsley. We've got an outside chance of the title, as I said earlier, so I definitely think we'll probably win this game. I think Barnsley haven't been as good during the second half of the season. They've got nothing to play for. I don't really see them causing us any problems, especially now we've been promoted. There's not really the pressure on us. Even if we lose or, you know, draw, it doesn't really matter. So I think the players can go out and play with some freedom. And it will get a few goals. Finish the season on a high at St James' Park. There'll be celebrations afterwards. Hopefully, we could see us lift the title. That'll be, and then the trophy to be on the pitch. That'd be really nice. But if not, we'll move on and label this season as a success. It's been a massive one. But that is all we have time for today. So if you guys want to tell people where they can reach you or anything you're involved in, that'll be a good time.
Yes, as I said earlier, I'm James Vickers. I'm a Preston North End fan on the podcast. You can reach me on Twitter @_JamesVickers. I write for a Preston North End fan blog, which is @DeepdaleDigest. And hopefully in the near future, I'll be writing for a Borussia Dortmund fan blog as well. So if anyone follows Bundesliga, definitely worth following me to keep an eye out for that. But yeah, as I said, follow me on Twitter and talk football.
Hi, I'm Andy Buckley-Taylor, representing Derby County on the podcast. You can follow my mutterings on Twitter @BuckTaylor64. I also do a blog on the Derbyshire Times and all their various local newspapers in Derbyshire, where obviously you can follow my point of view and interact with me if you so wish.
Yeah, no, you can get my Twitter @JakeJackman with two N's, all right, for EPL Index and The Boot Room, so check both those sites out. Thanks to both James and Andy for coming on today, and thanks for you guys listening. We hope you join us again soon.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.